accession number 22080, reel 3.
Mr. Coombs, reel 3. Right, Mr. Coombs, we're talking about your move up towards the front line.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier the cork trees and
yes,
the impression.
That's right, and the bark that was stacked along the roadside, waiting to be picked up by the manufacturers. Then we arrived at the foot of a hill. It was pouring with rain. We arrived at the foot of a hill, and I remember we were standing about, getting thoroughly wet. And it was then that I suppose people were getting a bit anxious. One chap put a bullet through his foot, Sten gun. After that, I remember going up the hill, and having been assured that there was Germans on the top, but it had been softened up with our artillery. I remember going up the hill, and about halfway up, there was a tremendous explosions, and shells fell amongst us. Either at the time I thought it was air guns that had fallen short, but with hindsight it could have been guns from the Germans. Several of the lads were lying on the ground. One near me was lying on his stomach, and the blood was belching out of his buttocks like a fountain, but there was nothing I could do at the time, and we were moving forward. And then shortly afterwards we were met with a hail of bullets. I slithered back a foot or so and found myself lying beside a body that was very still. Then how much further do you want to go with that? Body lying very still. I grabbed my rifle and went on down the hill. Then I met a friend, Private Ackland, Fred Ackland, who had a bullet in his back, but we remarked it wasn't much harm because it hadn't penetrated. Then I lost him. I don't know where he went. And I met another one of the Sherwood foresters, and we went on, met some paratroops. They told us they thought we were going in the right direction because everyone else had disappeared. We went on until we came to a wadi or stream. We were debating whether we'd chance wading across, and then an Arab appeared and offered to take us, which we accepted. Actually, the water was only knee-deep, and he took us across. As we went, I noticed the cliffs on the right were punctured with caves, and at the foot of each cave, at the entrance of each cave, there was Arabs. We went on for some time, I don't know how long, and eventually joined the battalion. We'd heard stories of how the Arabs had been taking clothing from the dead, but our experience on that occasion was one of thankfulness.
Now, you've moved us forward a little bit because you've moved us into the
yes,
the Sedunane battle.
Yeah.
Your experiences of that. I'll keep us there for a little bit, then we'll move back a little bit. But this was your direct impressions of the Sedunane battle, which involved
yes,
most of the foresters' companies being overrun. Now, when you got back to the battalion, what was there for you to come back to? I mean, what was the situation with the Sherwood foresters?
Well, there were numbers of men in the woods. I can't remember quite what we did, but I was... it was BHQ, went into BHQ and reported. And it was I was told that they needed stretcher bearers, so I offered to be a stretcher bearer. And then from there, the MO thought I would be a likely person for to be a clerk, for his clerk, which I did.
Mm-hmm. Now, you got back to battalion headquarters. They needed stretcher bearers.
Yes.
Did you act as a stretcher bearer from this point onwards? Can you remember collecting casualties from the battle?
Well, I did, but not... I wasn't attached to a company, because, as you know, stretcher bearers are attached to a company. I think it was, say, A company or B company, but each had two stretcher bearers. And I didn't fill that role because I went to help the MO straight away.
Now, you got back to battalion headquarters. What was people's general impression of what had happened to the battalion?
Yes.
You'd been in this battle, you'd suffered heavy casualties. What had gone wrong?
Well, I understood the RAP in the previous fighting had had a direct hit, and the padre had been killed. That would be in your records, I think.
What's the RAP, if you could just explain?
A regimental aid post had been killed, and the RAP was non-existent, so they were making another one. Captain McCarrigan, I understood, was mentioned in dispatches on that occasion.
And he was the MO at this point?
He was the MO, yes.
Now, in your manuscript, you describe Captain Stansland throwing hand grenades.
Yes.
Could you just go back to that and just describe what that involved?
Well, as far as I could see, he was kneeling up on the ridge and lobbing over hand grenades.
And so this was part of an attempt to get the Germans off?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And about how many men do you think at this stage of the battle were involved, your side?
I don't know, couldn't say really. When the shells fell, there were about half a dozen, I think, in my immediate neighbourhood.
Were you aware of... how close were the Germans at this point?
I don't know, but pretty near, I think. There was a ridge, and that's where the fire was coming from. They let us get quite close.
There's apparently, according to various documents and so on, quite a lot of men were taken prisoner.
Yes.
Now, out of the people that you knew in your company... You know, you were with this one other soldier. You got back to battalion headquarters.
Yes.
What was your impression of what had happened to you, the rest of the company?
Well, they seemed scattered amongst the trees. What, I don't know quite, really. I was a bit dazed.
Now, you mentioned that this one man with a self-inflicted wound.
Yes.
What did you think when you saw that?
Well, I don't know that I thought a lot about it, really.
You just took it for granted?
Yes. It wasn't the last time I was going to see it.
Was it the first time?
It was the first time, but not the last.
And you'd have to deal with casualties of that kind at the regimental aid?
I wasn't in the RAP then.
Yeah, but later on you would...
Later on. Well, the next time a man shot his head off, so there wasn't much to do there.
And where was that?
That was in the Liri Valley in Italy.
Now... We've moved straight into the battle, the first big battle
that
the Foresters had.
Yes.
Now, I'd like to kind of move us back because, obviously, according to the war diary, you moved into the front line and there was quite a stalemate, apparently, for several weeks before any action.
Yes, actually.
Now, if you could just cast your mind back to that, you know, you first moved into the front line.
Yes.
And just your impressions of what that day-to-day routine of being in the front line were before the battle. If you can remember anything about that, because apparently you were...
Well, yes, we were in a trench camp. I mentioned that in there because I couldn't remember the name of the place, but I thought it began with a Z. But it was high in the mountains, and there was snow on the ground, and we were attached to an Arab village.
How did you get on with the Arabs? I mean, you've mentioned this one experience of the Arabs helping you escape.
Yes.
What about prior to this? I mean, other veterans have talked about the Arabs moving between the British and the German positions.
Yes,
I've been very suspicious of their behaviour.
Yes, I've heard that, but I don't know, they might have done.
Now, again, you've described your first major action.
Yes.
Can you remember the first occasion when you came under fire? Prior to this, apparently the forces' positions were being shelled quite heavily when you were in the frontline positions before.
The first time was when the shells fell.
This was your first time?
When we were going up the hill, yes. Whether the shells were coming from the Germans or from us, I don't know.
What about aerial activity during this early...
Salerno?
No, aerial activity here?
Yes.
In Italy?
No, none at all. I didn't know of any.
Now, you mentioned coming into contact with the paratroopers.
Yes.
During this period. How did you know? Did they actually tell you they were...
No, I think they had red berries on them, for sure.
Now, that was your company's experience of the Sedgenham battle.
Yes.
When you got back to Battalion HQ, what had happened to everybody else? What was?
I don't know, really. Don't know.
And what was the morale like at this stage?
Well, it seemed quite good. I can't remember what we did immediately afterwards. Really?
During this period, this early period in the front line and up to this battle, had you come into contact with any German prisoners? Had the battalion taken
Not
any,
then, no.
Had
no.
taken any German prisoners?
No, I didn't. We did later in Italy.
So at this period you still hadn't met any Germans
Not
face-to-face?
Not face-to-face, no.
Mm-hmm. So from this point on you were assigned as a stretcher bearer. Now this obviously meant leaving your rifle, you were an unarmed man.
Yes.
What did you feel about that?
Oh, well, I was all right, I didn't mind that. It was I wasn't actually a stretcher bearer, I was MO's clerk.
So what were your duties? What did MO's clerk do?
Well, the field medical card, each casualty had a field medical card with the his name, rank and number on it, and the nature of the wound, and his age and length of service. And then he was shipped off down the line to 138 ambulance.
Now, this medical card, would this go with the casualty, or would it be
Yes, fine? Oh yes, tied on him.
That would be like on a string?
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, like a luggage label.
And that was your job to fill these things in?
To do that, yes.
Yeah. So when did you actually...
And then when we were out of the line on sick parade, one had to dispense the different drugs.
Now, what kind of man was your medical officer at this stage? If you could just describe him, you know, any personality traits.
Well, Captain McKerrigan was a Scotsman, and I got on very well with him. As I said earlier, I used to play chess with him.
I think you mentioned off the tip that you made a homemade chess kit.
I did, yes. Yes, I've got it upstairs.
And what did you make it out of?
Olive wood.
Now, so you were in the regimental aid post. When did you actually start this clerical work? Did that start in Tunisia? You were still...
Well, as I remember, straight away.
So what do you remember the first, can you remember the first casualties that you were dealing with?
Not really, no. No, I suspect that we were on sick parade, I think, immediately afterwards.
Could you just describe what sick parade was and how that worked? How it was organised?
Well, the people who were not well used to line up and then go in front of the CO, not the CO, the MO, and he'd write on a piece of paper the medicine that he should have. Then he goes on through to the tent where the bottles and powders and everything else is.
And about within a, you know, you're with a battalion of men, the Sherwood Foresters. How would sick parade be held every day?
Well, yes, when we were out of the line, yes.
What about when you were in the line, if somebody?
Well, there's no sick parade then.
So how would a person? Would they have to report to?
Well, they'd have to report sick, yes, and then they'd be dealt with. They'd be sent back down the line. I mean, there were some who had nervous exhaustion, and they would just be sent back.
Now, these cases of nervous exhaustion, did you have them in Tunisia?
Or did, yes. In Tunisia, well, I don't know about Tunisia because I wasn't in the medical section, but we did in Italy.
Mm-hmm. So, after the Sedgenane battle, you were stretcher bearer, but only kind of unofficially, as it were.
Yes.
So you didn't really join the medical orderly until when? After the Tunisian campaign had ended.
No. Because it was some time later that the actual campaign ended, wasn't it?
Well, it would have been May.
Yes, May. Yes, that period's a bit of a blank, really.
Yeah. Just on this subject of the sick parade.
Yes.
Obviously, you would have a parade of men now. Did the medical officer had any strategy for dealing with, you know, so-called malingerers, people that were pretending to be ill? Do you have any memories of that, and what complaints people might invent for themselves?
No, well, they would have been sent back to 183, possibly further.
183 and was there?
Yes, 183, and then they'd appear again, but they'd said they'd go. They'd lose their nerve again.
Now, you mentioned the self-inflicted wound case, and you mentioned another case of a suicide in Italy.
Yes.
What was the army's policy, as you understood it, to a man that would, you know, shoot himself?
I don't know.
I mean, how would they be treated specifically by the battalion, so far as you knew?
I don't know, because the one in Africa, he was just standing about, and so were the rest of us standing about. And then we had the order to go up the hill, so we weren't really very interested in him, whether he'd shot himself or not. But, and the one in Italy, of course, that was we were just moving forward then. River Rapido.
Say again.
The River Rapido.
So this is.
Yes.
Do you remember any? Memories of later actions in Tunisia before the Tunisian campaign ended?
Yes, not apart from routine sick parades. We were. We were in a position just outside Tunis, actually. And I developed gastroenteritis, with a temperature of 104. So I was put in an ambulance and bumped away down towards Algiers, which is quite a long way. Very bumpy. Had to knock on the wall of the ambulance once or twice for an emergency stop. And then I got on a train, but I can't remember getting off the ambulance and getting into a train. I got into a troop train with stretchers. And then I was shipped away to Algiers and went in Algiers Hospital, which was a very nice place.
How was it nice?
Well, it was nice and clean and quiet. I thought I'd landed in heaven, but so I had clean sheets and a nurse bending over me, offering me jelly. It was very pleasant.
And how long were you there for?
I can't remember, not many days, not in the hospital. There was another IRTD in Algiers, and that's where I went, and that's when I went. I joined the foresters again, and I remember, the next thing I remember is we were concentrated at Bizerta. I think it's Bizerta, just before the Salerno crossing.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you, as a unit, you suffered heavy casualties in your first major action. Had reinforcement drafts come
in to the battalion?
And where did these men come from?
I don't know. Don't know.
And in terms of the battalion's activities at this point, were you doing any kind of training in preparation for this landing?
Yes, we were doing a bit of beach landing.
Could you describe that?
Well, I can't remember. I can't remember what training we did at the IRTD. I don't think we did much there.
Now, once you'd moved back to the foresters, you said you were posted back to the foresters.
Yes. Yes. After hospital, I went back into the foresters again, which I was glad. Because everybody, as you probably know, if they come out of a regiment for one reason or another, they're always most anxious to get back into it again. You know, well, I suppose it's definitely knows better than the one you don't know.
Now, you've mentioned how much you liked the hospital environment.
Yes.
Just backtracking to the conditions in the front line, I think you mentioned that your paybook was soaked and that's why it's in that condition. What were conditions in the front line like in Tunisia? Just, John, could you describe, you know, your... What were you living in the front line?
Well, in the we were in bivouacs just before moving up to the front, and in the place that I thought began with Z, but I'm not quite sure. And it was we're not allowed to use the water that the Arabs used or to eat the food they prepared. They lived in a very primitive way. What struck me as rather strange was when they went out to gather wood for their fires, the women would pile their donkeys up high with sticks and walk along behind. And the same thing would happen when the man went as well. He would sit on the donkey and the woman would trail along behind again. They used to keep their meat, usually goats, slung up in a tree and used to cut bits off as they needed it. And it was And they used to bake their bread by grinding the corn in a quern, you know, one of those stone grinding things, and make their own bread and donuts.
Did you eat their food? Did people trade with them?
No. No, we were told not to.
And people
I don't think they did, no.
Obeyed that, yeah.
I don't think it was appetising enough, really.
What about food, your food in the front line?
As far as I remember, it was all right. Yes.
Now, going back to, you're a deserter. Now, were you attached to the medical orderly officer by this time?
Yes.
In a regimental aid post? Yes. So that you had your job as a clerk by this point?
Yes.
Now, you were preparing, you were practicing for this invasion.
Yes.
Did you know where you were going to be invading, or was that just a
No, I didn't know really. No.
What was the general feeling about what was going to happen to you next? What did people speculate?
Well, just waiting really for something to happen. Bob Hope came and sang to us, I remember.
Could you describe that?
Well, we were all concentrated on the ground, just off the quay where the boats were moored, and he sang songs over a loudspeaker.
What did people think of him?
Oh, I thought it was very good. I've had a soft spot for him since.
And about how many people were in the audience for this?
I don't know, hundreds, I think.
And they'd be British and American, or just British?
I think they're British, because they were. It was an American exercise, but British troops.
Can you remember what he sang?
No.
Now, so you were training for this beach assault.
Yes.
Where would the regimental aid post be, in terms of, you know?
Can't remember. It was all a bit fluid and flexible, really.
Now, could you just describe, just in general terms, you mentioned that you worked as a stretcher bearer for a while.
Yes.
You've got the regimental aid post. What was behind the regimental aid post in terms of medical treatment? You'd have this card, you'd put the card in the casualty.
That's right.
What was behind the medical aid post? Where would the casualty go to then?
You'd go to 183 Ambulance, which was the most forward unit of the RAMC. Because the battalion medical section was not RAMC, it was infantry.
And could you just describe what your medical section consisted of? You had the medical officer, who else was within it?
Medical officer, a sergeant and a corporal, possibly a lance corporal, and two orderlies.
And what about the stretcher bearers? How many stretcher bearers?
Well, stretcher bearers would be in the companies.
They'd be
two to a company. And they used to bring in the casualties and bring them to the RAP.
So their job was, they'd be up with the forward troops,
yes,
bringing the casualties back to you.
That's right.
Now, what kind of medical treatment would the medical officer be able to provide at the regimental level?
Large field dressings, far as cotton wool field dressings, rather like the little field dressings that you had on your uniform.
So there wouldn't be any kind of major treatment as such?
No, there wouldn't. No, it would be just to try and stop the bleeding and get the details mainly.
Now, when you were in the middle of an action, just talking in general terms, would you be actively involved in applying the field dressings, or would you be...
Yes, I did that sometimes.
Can you remember any personalities? I mean, you mentioned the your medical officer out of this small section. Anybody else stands out in your mind? Any names of your fellow RAMP men?
Not apart from connected with the medical section.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yes.
And you were saying earlier that you felt that the regimental aid post you had prior to the Battle of Saint Germain was possibly taken prisoner or
yes,
otherwise.
So I believe, yes, I was told.
Now, when you were a rifleman within the company,
yes,
involved in your first battle, can you remember anything about the stretcher bearers then? And any
No, I can't, no.